We all know that practicing medicine, there is an art to it, and the same would be true in physical therapy. However, our next guest says maybe there should be more science. Here to talk with us is Mr. Dr. Joe Brent, who is clinic director at Keystone Rehab. Stay tuned for this next episode of PT Talker.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
As promised, joining us on the line today is Dr. Brent from Keystone Rehab. You're in South Pittsburgh. Welcome to the show today, Dr. Brent.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff.
And I think we're going to get casual here and call you Joe, but you do you do a lot of research. You're a blogger. I want to give you a little plug here. ForwardThinkingPT.com is your blog site. But you have been out there kind of talking about some things I think are provocative, and one of your themes is how to move PT forward. I think you have some thoughts on that that I thought our listeners might enjoy. So fill us in a little bit on some of your thoughts regarding evidence-based physical therapy.
Sure. So to give you a little bit of a background about evidence-based physical therapy and why I think we need to move physical therapy forward, it came all about whenever I was in physical therapy school. We learned different special tests, different techniques, but always questioned. I really wasn't seeing what the professors were seeing. So I'd occasionally just kind of, follow along and say that I saw this upslip or anterior and autonomic rotation or that I think that these modalities are doing a certain thing, but I always had these questions in the back of my mind. So 3.5 years out into clinical practice, I continue to have those same thoughts going through my head. So a couple weeks ago, I got a prescription from a local podiatrist that said, treat Achilles tendonitis with ultrasound and electrical stimulation. And it just made me infuriated that this podiatrist is recommending that I treat this condition with non-evidence-based modalities. So I went to my blog, forwardthinkingpt.com, did a little bit of a review of the literature, and posted some things that I think are pertinent for physical therapists to read, some statistics that indicate that, obviously, you shouldn't be using ultrasound to treat Achilles tendonitis. There's really no research to support that, and I put some of the statistics on the site, some of the studies that I think are pertinent for us to understand.
Right.
I think that we're recognized by the medical community as interventionalists, and I'd like us to move past that. I'd like us to be seen as musculoskeletal experts or movement experts, because that's what we are. We're not simple interventionalists who just perform ultrasound and electrical stimulation. We look at movement patterns, and we determine how we can treat them.
Right. So so in a situation like that, there's probably a million questions here, but what's the first thing you do? You obviously do not believe that ultrasound and stim is the right thing to do. What are you required to do in order to handle that specific patient and that referral?
Sure. So I think that every case of Achilles tendonitis is different, or every case of anything is different. Every individual responds to their condition differently than the other person. So I look at, number one, what reproduces that individual's symptoms? Okay, is it dorsiflexion of foot? Is it mobilization of talocrural joint? What exactly is provoking those symptoms? Maitland used to call that the comparable sign. So if the patient has a chief complaint, how can we reproduce it? And then we look at how we reproduce it. So say that, pushing the talus posteriorly reproduces the patient's symptoms. So we actually treat it by pushing it posteriorly, but not into the painful motion. So we would mobilize it posteriorly, but not to the point of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I would treat that condition. There's some great research to show that eccentric strengthening is good to treat Achilles tendonitis, or has good efficacy in the treatment of Achilles tendonitis, so I would do some eccentric strengthening with that individual also.
Okay.
But there really isn't great literature to support the use of ultrasound for those patients.
Got it. Now, and just so, do you have a Do you have an obligation to let the doctor know that you're going to do something else, or do you just do it?
I just do it.
Yeah.
To be honest, I feel that I'm an autonomous practitioner.
Yeah.
The patient was referred for physical therapy, but I have to use my best clinical judgment and sound reasoning for the interventions I'm going to provide to that patient.
Sure.
I'd feel completely unethical to understand that the literature indicates that ultrasound's likely not beneficial for this individual. So for me to provide that intervention and bill an insurance company, I'd feel like I was committing some sort of fraud.
So, and then let's just clarify, are there any indications where you believe ultrasound could be used successfully, or should be
really
used?
No, not necessarily. There was a 99 systematic review by Van der Wendt, and they looked at a bunch of different studies that treated ultrasound, or treated musculoskeletal conditions with ultrasound, and found that out of all these studies they analyzed, there's really little to no evidence to support that it did anything. Another systematic review was done in 2001, which the exact same conclusions. More recent systematic review done on treatment of knee and hip OA, so doing the ultrasound over the knee and the hip, came with those same results. Mm-hmm. So these large systematic reviews, which have taken these randomized controlled trials and put them through an analysis, have indicated that this is no more beneficial than a sham treatment.
Yeah. So so in your practice then, what kinds of things are you doing? I know there's your exercise, like you just said, and some eccentric work, et cetera. But.
Exactly. So each condition is a little bit different. I do treat with a manual focus. Mm-hmm. I also do a lot of exercises, and I'm going to follow different protocols that have been shown to be beneficial in the literature. A lot of my clinical practice is on complex painful conditions, such as like complex regional pain syndrome, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. So for those individuals, I use a graded motor imagery approach, as well as a mirror box when indicated. And the literature for the treatment of those conditions indicates that's what you should be doing with those individuals. Mm-hmm. There was actually an article out by, his name is Joe Nice, and he's out of Belgium. And he looked at the treatment of individuals that have central sensitization. So there's this new classification approach of pain in which instead of saying pain is acute or chronic, he says we should classify it as either being neuropathic or peripheral neuropathic, nociceptive, or central sensitization. And those individuals that would have chronic pain or that we would have termed as having chronic pain, we now are classifying as having central sensitization. And research indicates those individuals that have chronic pain actually have thermal hypersensitivity, which means that if you put a hot pack or a cold pack or a hot ultrasound over their skin, you could potentially make their condition worse.
Wow.
So pretty crazy. But there is some pretty good literature to support with these individuals in taking a graded motor imagery or mirror box approach, or even doing what's termed a graded exposure approach, which is a type of exercise approach to care.
Okay. So you're out there on your blog, and being somewhat provocative, a little bit critical of the industry, let's just say, and you may correct me, but the industry for using some of these modalities that do not have the evidence to support them. What needs to happen? How are you?
I think we just need to drop it. I think the same thing has happened with the chiropractic profession. The chiropractors who still believe in the subluxation theory, which has never been proven, which was thought of in 1896 or 1886 by a magnetic healer, came up with this approach that you have these subluxations, you need to put them back in place. The subluxations to the chiropractor are the same as the modalities to the physical therapist. We just need to drop it. We need to drop it, because otherwise we're going to be criticized as the medical community understands this literature that's been performed on these things that we hold so dear. So I just say, stop using it. Mm-hmm. Start reading a little bit of literature and move forward.
Yeah, and so there are no studies that support ultrasound.
I'm sure that there are some small randomized controlled trials that have supported the use of ultrasound or electrical stimulation, but when they pull together and they do these large systematic reviews which analyze these randomized controlled trials, mm-hmm. the results indicate that they're likely not beneficial, okay, or likely not more beneficial than a sham treatment.
Okay. And yeah. So how is your message, the message on your blog, how's that being accepted?
I've actually gotten a great response. I think that that article that we're talking about was shared over 300 times in different Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. It was shared on LinkedIn. I haven't really gotten any negative criticism from this. I've gotten a response from a lot of different PTs that kind of have the similar mindset. It just, this kind of gave them a voice or gave them a medium in communicating that.
Or to think they're not crazy for thinking this.
Because there is this deeply held belief that we need to do these modalities by certain physical therapists, mm-hmm, but when it comes down to the evidence, they really aren't that beneficial.
Well, isn't it frankly how some physical therapists get paid, too?
Oh, exactly. And I understand from a private practice perspective, how do you make up this money when you were doing, and this one individual who replied to my blog, he said, if we're seeing 50 patients a week and every patient's getting ultrasound, that's $500 a week that I may potentially lose in reimbursement.
Right.
And I'm sorry to say that you're going to have to find, you know, other ways to make up that
that's not the
lost
reason.
Revenue.
Yeah.
You know, providing an intervention the patient doesn't need.
Yeah.
I think that could be more detrimental than losing a little bit of money.
Right. So now you're part of a large group, Keystone Rehab. Obviously, they are, they're a for-profit company. They're trying to make money. You must be doing something right. You're clinic director. You're actually over several clinics. You're a multi-clinic director. How have you made it work? What advice do you have?
Exactly. So, and I don't know if a lot of PTs know this, but at least in Pennsylvania, when you educate a patient or you give them a written home exercise program, you can bill for that. And that's kind of where I see a lot of PTs when I look at, or when I do chart audits and look at patterns and how PTs are billing. They're billing for these modalities, but they're not billing for giving out a written home exercise program or the education of an individual's pathology. So if you want to make up the revenue that you may potentially lose, that's how I'd recommend doing it.
And what kind of CPT code is that? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know off the top of my head. I
apologize. What would be the typical reimbursement for that code, whatever it is? Patient education, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're calling it.
You can actually bill it as a therapeutic exercise or a neuromuscular reeducation.
Oh, okay.
So those are the two CPT codes that you would bill it as. So you would get the same reimbursement.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
Instead of doing 5 minutes of leg raises,
right,
you can bill that therapeutic exercise as the written, or the written home exercise program as that same therapeutic exercise.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Okay. So your blog is forwardthinkingpt.com. What are some of the any other issues that you're tackling or getting ready to tackle, or is this the big one?
Well, a series of blog posts that I'm doing right now are called "A Few Tests to Toss." So I'm discussing the literature on different special tests that we do. And the first post that I did on this, I kind of tackled the sacroiliac joint. And I indicated which tests for the sacroiliac joint dysfunction have been proven in the literature to be beneficial and which ones haven't. So which ones are valid and reliable and which ones aren't. And I think that what we know from the sacroiliac joint is that we can provoke pain there. So the provocation tests are valid and reliable. They have good specificity and sensitivity. The movement tests or the palpatory tests aren't. So if you think you're seeing an anterior innotomy on the right and you have another physical therapist check it out, they may think it's occurring on the left. So the reliability and the reproduction of the results of that test between clinicians isn't good. So the literature indicates when we look at that joint, we should be trying to provoke pain there to see if the pain's occurring from that joint. But in terms of saying why the pain's occurring biomechanically, we can't, at least at this point.
You are putting physical therapy on its ear, I would think. So for more information about tests to toss, they can find that at forwardthinkingpt.com, I will assume.
Yep, Yep, that's
okay.
correct.
All right. Joe, we are actually out of time, but thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks a ton for having me, Jeff.
You have been listening to Dr. Joe Brent, DPT. He is the clinic director for Keystone Rehab in the south area of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Very interesting. He also is the author of the blog ForwardThinkingPT.com, does a lot of research. Great guy. We will make him an official friend of PT Talker, and I hope you'll take our call again sometime, Joe.
Hey, anytime.
All right. I want to remind everybody that it is free always to subscribe to PT Talker, where we bring you a new expert just like Dr. Brent each and every week, where we hope you'll find some technique, some tip, some trick, maybe just some information that will help you to be a better physical therapist. Previous episodes are also available at iTunes.com. Thanks for listening. This is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.